Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It's Sam and Greg on this fifth day of January. Folks, it is cold outside, so layer up if you're heading out. Sunday service, you're going to do some tailgating, joining John Fricke and Joe Patrick out there at the Northside lot. Falcons kick off against Carolina at 1 o'clock. By the way, if you can't get in front of a TV, we got that for you here. Pre-game at 11 o'clock. One is kickoff. And then tonight, the biggest TV show in the country has the biggest game of the year.
How about that?
Regular season game.
Yep.
You got Minnesota at Detroit tonight, and that will be on pregame at 7:30 here. Kick at 8:15, again, if you can't get in front of a TV. Hawks at Utah, by the way. We're talking Hawks, and we're going to talk more with Terrell Thomas coming up. They're going to continue this West Coast trip against Utah on Tuesday night, and we'll have that game for you.
Mm-hmm.
Ratchet, and they take on Phoenix on Thursday. And I mean, a lot of people trying to put Phoenix, you know, on the back burner already. They're saying
you know what somebody's saying, that they could use a certain player that's disgruntled down in Miami.
Jimmy Butler, how do you back Pat Riley into a corner?
I don't know.
This dude did it. You see how he got his hair going? He's the roles he put in his hair. He got different colors. Highlight the teams he want to play. Yeah. He wants to play with. I don't know if you noticed that. Yeah. He had green a couple days ago. Oh, I want to play with the Bucks. Then he had orange. Oh, I want to go to Phoenix. So that's what they're saying. That's what that represents when you see him. Anyway, do we have our guest, bow tie and all? Let's welcome.
I don't know if he's got the bow tie on at this hour.
Might be going to church after us. I don't know.
He may have was one that he sleeps in or something.
Sleeping in a bow tie. What is he, Charles Carralt?
You know,
there's a name you didn't think you'd hear when you woke up.
He's Kyle Sandy. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. That's right. How was everyone's New Year? Did you guys shoot off some fireworks, or was everyone very safely tucked away at home?
Sam and I had to come on the next morning, so we were doing mornings last week. Uh-huh. So, yeah, we were in, and I have a dog, like a lot of dog owners out there who know that fireworks make their dogs schizoid. And that's basically what I just made that word up. That's what Jesse was.
Yeah.
And so I had to, like, we were holding Jesse down. She was shaking all night long while these fireworks are going off. So that was my New Year's Eve.
But you've seen a lot of fireworks, though, here in the last couple of weeks, a lot of holiday tournaments. There were a couple of showcase events that took place around the area yesterday. I know you were checking out this game with Buford and North Oconee, the North Oconee boys, like a tight one there. What's the thing that you enjoyed most, the things that kind of jumped out during this holiday time with these basketball teams?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with that North Oconee and Buford game. We'll touch on that in just a second. But just during the holiday season, obviously there's so much basketball to be seen. People are playing pretty much daily since there's no school in session. But you see teams come from all different types of the state, all different areas, and they come and see teams that they don't usually get to play against. So we had even Johnson of Savannah come up and play at Monroe area yesterday at the Sandy Spiel Shootout. So you just get to see teams from all over come and play one another, teams that you might not see until you get deep runs into the state tournament. So they say styles make fights, and that's what we saw with North Oconee versus Buford. North Oconee, huge inside, 6'8". Banks Porcher had 22 points. Kamari Brooks, who I'm sure you heard about him on the football field, scoring a touchdown and leading his team to a state championship. He was just a bully inside with 18 points and 11 rebounds. But Buford, small, scrappy, well-coached. Wes Parker does a great job, undersized, but they shoot the three exceptionally well. They had 12 or 13 three-pointers to make that game tight, scrappy, just fight the entire time. But North Oconee pulled it out at the end, 67-69 at the Sandy Spiel Shootout. It was a really, really good game, fun game to close the day on.
Hey, Kyle, we talk about this in the NBA a lot, but is there any kind of difference between pre-New Year's and post-New Year's when it comes to high school basketball? You know, they say the players in the NBA, they really start playing, you know, harder after Christmas and so on and so forth. Is that the case? However you'd like to put it, but is there a little difference between beginning of the season and this cutoff where the new year starts?
Yeah, I think teams start to gel. You start to kind of understand expectations of the coach, and rotations kind of form themselves out. And, you know, sometimes there's some players that maybe are hurt at the beginning of the season, or maybe there is the potential of an eligibility issue, and maybe they're coming back after the new year begins. But at this time, you're pretty much gripping onto the reins, and you're hitting the stretch run as far as region play goes. So that's when the coaches look down the bench and say, hey, I gave you about 12 games to show me that you can play at this level. Maybe we got to get you on the bench here and ride my horses down the stretch when everything really, really matters as far as playing for seeding and everything like that. But this is when you really do see teams round into form, find their identities, and this is when games really start to matter. Now, we talk about all these showcase games, and that's great. That's really just to test your mettle four times like this when region play really kicks into full drive. So, yes, I think this is really when you do see teams start to push their foot onto the gas pedal and strive for the finish line.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Kyle Sandy talking high school hoops. Always great to catch up with him, and he is social. Always find him at Kyle Sandy 355 at Kyle Sandy 355. I'm looking at the rankings in the largest classification in boys, and it seems like the road to the state championship goes through Cobb County. What they got in the water out there?
Yeah, there's some really good teams over in Cobb this year on the boys' side. Obviously, Wheeler's always a powerhouse. They're really, really tough to beat. They had a big performance from Anser McClain the other day. I think he had 31 points at that great New Year's event that they host at Grayson every single season. They're really tough. Walton boys have been really, really good this year. Caesar Burrows is a great player. Caden Gilstrap, who's signed to play baseball and I believe football as well at Wofford, but he's a great basketball player. They've been really tough throughout the season. McEachern played Grayson really tight just the other day. They're always a powerhouse, a force. So, and even Hillgrove, who has really, you know, had a great season, maybe not in the limelight as those other programs, but Hillgrove has done a great job of turning this program back around and has been very, very competitive at the statewide level. They're ranked number 9 in the state currently. But, yes, always it feels like great basketball is being played in Cobb County. But to be honest, you can find great basketball boys and girls all over the state of Georgia. So just to be in the Peach State, you're very, very lucky to be able to just be a stone's throw away from watching some top-level basketball.
You know, the thing is, Sam, that I didn't really pay that much attention to, I think I might have glazed over, but I'd forgotten that Kyle puts out a transfer list. You know, puts the transfer list out there. Not only that, as it says here on your website, here's a rundown of some of the transfers, you know, that you've heard about through the grapevine, but you are also seeking others. So anybody out there that may know of other possible transfers, you're asking them to reach out to you at KyleSandy355 or email you at KyleSandy355@gmail.com.
Yes, it takes a village. It takes a village. There's so many to track. I mean, every year it feels like we're getting near 200 transfers, and I'm sure I'm missing a ton throughout that entire process. But, yeah, that is a bear to track down in the off season. There's a lot of movement in the state of Georgia.
Is that a lot? I mean, when he says 200, that seems like a lot, but I don't know in 2024, 25 if that is. I mean, that crazy? Is that a crazy amount, or is that, you know, going to be the norm that you foresee looking forward, given the nature of how high school sports are run right now?
Yeah, you know, it's that trickle down effect from college. The transfer portal is booming, and you see it at the high school level. And every single year, it feels like high school is starting to feel more and more like the college level, and even, you know, NIL that hasn't necessarily blown up at the high school level just yet. But no, transfers, that they're here to stay. It is what it is. There's going to be people that do it the right way. There's going to be people that do it the not so right way, but it is just fun to track. You know, I've been doing this website for what, I guess officially 10 calendar years now.
Has it been that long?
Wow.
Yeah, 2015 is when sandyspiel.com opened, and we're 2025 now, so I'm getting old, but it is what it is. But yeah, teams and state championships sometimes it feels like are won and lost with the construction of their roster in the offseason. So when we say we have over 100 and maybe 200 transfers, I personally feel like that is a lot. And I feel like maybe we are one of those leaders in the nation, but I'm sure Texas and all these huge states and California, I'm sure it happens nonstop over there as well. But it's the nature of the beast. Now, if you're not happy where you are, people are going to take their kid and ship them elsewhere for whatever reason, whether it's sports or academics. A lot of factors, of course, are involved with that.
That's true. That's true. Spending time with Cal Sandy. Cal, looking at the girls' rankings, I want 4A. I'm seeing Creekside up top, but, boy, you got some teams with some outstanding players right behind them in Kale and Maris. And Maynard Jackson is always in the conversation.
Yeah, 4A is a really fun classification. Obviously, you got Creekside, who you just mentioned, with CeCe Dennis, a sophomore, one of the very best players, not only in Georgia, but really raising her stock to be one of the best players in the entire country, just a walking triple-double machine. It feels like when the game is needed to be won, she makes all those plays, a terrific point guard. But they're in that same region with Maynard Jackson, as you mentioned, who's always tough and, you know, won that state title. You see Midtown, who just got about 43 points, I think it was, from Devin Bachman, a junior guard, yesterday. I believe that was at the She Got Game Classic. So there's really tough competition there. Kell, as you mentioned, is really good when they have all their pieces in place. And then Marist won that state title last year. Kate Harpring, probably the best player in the entire nation. She is always a threat to go for 45, 50 points any single night.
Talk about her a little bit. I mean, she really got on a lot of people's radar last year who haven't followed closely with the big game she had in the state tournament. But talk about her, and we all know, you know, her dad and, you know, family and the fact that she's distinguishing herself in her own right. Talk about what people see when they get a chance to see her play.
Well, you just see a player that doesn't have any flaws in her game. Obviously, super well-polished. She's got a very strong frame. She doesn't get knocked off balance. She gets to her spots exceptionally well. She creates off the dribble. She's a tough shot maker. She hits turnaround jumpers. Early on in her career as a freshman, she really, really thrived at, you know, transition points, getting steals and going coast to coast. But now she just continues to add range to her game, does everything, quick instincts, rebounds the ball. She's every bit of a blue-chip prospect, a five-star player, someone that you put on any single team in the state and you have a legitimate shot at winning a state title. She is the real deal as far as carrying the load. She is must-see TV and only a junior, so you got another year to watch her. And anytime she is on the floor, Maris has a chance to win. And even if, you know, maybe they don't have all that superstar power all the way up and down their lineup, when you got the best player on the court, 99 to 100% of the time, you're always in a great position to win.
Hey, Kyle, earlier you mentioned the trickle-down effect when talking about transfers. Has there been a trickle-down effect, and I don't know what it would look like, but with the popularity of women's basketball on the college level, obviously the WNBA, is that noticeable on the high school level and the world in which you walk around in?
I think we will see that, like the Caitlin Clark effect and everything like that in the future, in the years to come, because, you know, you have little girls that are watching her when they're 6 and 7 years old. And we haven't necessarily seen that come to fruition yet. They're still growing. We don't see it at the high school level yet, but watching her, Angel Reese, Haley Banlith, all those fun players, Paige Beckers, I think it does feel like there might be a new era of young lady hoopers that really love the game and have these athletes that they watch and they're exciting to see play and want to emulate them. So I think that we can see that rising up the ranks. And I think girls basketball, it's in a healthy spot, but seeing those players and, you know, championing them, what they've been able to do at the college level and now in the WNBA, I do think that girls basketball might see an uptick in the next couple years. And that's very, very exciting to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because so much of that talent comes from our area. And, oh, you know, like I said, you look at the rosters, at the college rosters in March Madness, or you look at what's happened over at Georgia Tech. You know, Nell Fortner got some area products to be a part of that program over there right now, and they're undefeated. And she's really proud of the fact that she was able to get some area products to stay home.
Yeah, they've done an amazing job. Daniel Carnegie, Player of the Year in the state of Georgia last year, leads Grayson to a state title, and it's no surprise she is dominating at Georgia Tech.
All right, listen, Kyle, you got to get your alarm clock set because this is just the beginning of our early morning calls.
Yep.
So,
I'm good.
Let the wife know that these knuckleheads from, well, at least one of them, will be calling you up on Sunday morning. And by the way, we'll be getting our Saturdays back here soon, so we'll be calling
you then.
Kyle Sandy, as always, buddy, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Happy New Year, and thank you for contributing to this show.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks a lot, Kyle.